When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio, Women's Football Weekly.
On TalkSport 2.
All the action, excitement and drama from across the entire women's game.
Oh, the momentum is with them now.
Including the Women's Super League.
Clean off the line by Steph Horton.
The UEFA Women's Champions League and the Euro 2021 qualifiers.
Lana Clellan striking from outside the penalty area.
World-beating big match conversation on the station that's raising the game for women's football.
And she scored!
Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to this Women's Football Weekly special. So we finally know the outcome of the 2019-20 season. Chelsea are champions of the Barclays FA WSL and Aston Villa are promoted from the Championship. But it's disappointment for Liverpool, who are relegated to the second tier. Strap yourselves in, we have a bumper show for you. Kelly Simmons, director of the women's professional game at the FA, is with us to discuss how the FA came to that decision. You'll also hear from Chelsea manager Emma Hayes, Aston Villa's sporting director Enny Aluko, former Liverpool striker Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, and you'll find out what the financial implications could be for clubs like Liverpool and Sheffield United. All that and more coming up over the next hour here on TalkSport 2.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Leah Williamson from Arsenal Women, and you can follow the WSL on TalkSport 2.
Hello, hello. How are you all? How has your week been? It's not been quiet, has it? Never is in the world of women's football, constantly keeping us on our toes. And with that in mind, I want to get straight to it because we have a very special guest joining us this evening here on Women's Football Weekly. Kelly Simmons, director of the women's professional game at the FA. Hello to you. How are you doing?
Good evening. Yeah, fine, thank you.
Any rest at all?
Not since Christmas, really.
No. You've had some really tough decisions to make as well over the past few weeks. So we'll get straight into it. Obviously, the announcement came on Friday that the sporting outcome had been decided and Chelsea were the WSL title winners. Many people, though, asking why exactly it took so long. So what process did you have to go through and why did it take this long to come to the conclusion?
Well, we had to wait for the government protocols to come out in terms of how elite sport comes back. And so once we'd got that and talked to the clubs about the operational logistical challenges with those and the costs, and then we talked to the players as well, who were, I think it's fair to say, a number of them apprehensive about coming back to football whilst the country was in lockdown. And when we looked at all of that in the round, then there was very, very strong support from the clubs to terminate the league. And from there, obviously, we then went to look at sporting outcome. But the big decision was around termination. That was really dictated by government information.
Yeah, I think most of the clubs that we've spoken to here on Women's Football Weekly have said that you made the right decision regarding that and that they were fully behind it. A couple of clubs obviously still thought that they could have put games on and would have been able to afford it, though. How did you bring them round to the decision?
Well, we needed everybody with us. I think when you look at the challenges that both leagues, because we were talking to the WSL clubs and the Championship clubs every week. When you look at some of the challenges around the protocols and the fact that some women's clubs don't own their own training ground, they don't own their own stadium, and in some cases, if they're training in a public facility, that was shut. So when you looked at it all in the round, both the challenges and the costs, and you took the player feedback, it was almost unanimous that it was the right decision to terminate the league and really focus our efforts and our resources and our money on coming back strongly in September.
And in terms of the sporting outcome, that had to go to the full FA board for discussion. How was that decided in the end? Because many people thought, with a third of the season still to play, that voiding it, like had been the decision made for the lower leagues, tiers 3 to 7, that would have been the way you'd go with the WSL and Championship as well.
Yeah, it was a really difficult decision for the FA board. I think there's been quite a bit of talk in professional men's football about using points per game as well to conclude a season and for promotion and relegation. So in that sense, although lower down the women's pyramid, the decision was to null and void the game, the leagues, that in the professional game, the view is to use their sporting outcome. We certainly knew we had to do that for UEFA. So UEFA are really clear that in terms of Women's Champions League clubs for next season, we need to choose sporting merit from this season. But when we consulted the clubs and, you know, it was a written consultation process so the board could see all of the clubs' views, there was very little support actually for null and void. And therefore, you know, the board went for promotion and relegation. Very difficult decision. It would have been a very difficult decision had the ball gone the other way in terms of Aston Villa obviously being 6 points clear. Very tough for Liverpool, but that was, you know, the view taken from the clubs and the Super League and Championship board as well. That was the view that the FA board reached.
Yes, let's discuss Liverpool, because obviously where there are winners, there are inevitably going to be losers, and for the integrity of the league, that had to happen. But how close were you, first of all, to the thought process of extending the league, the WSL, to 13 teams and not relegating Liverpool?
It was certainly talked about. So all of the options were talked about. The only one really that wasn't on the table of all the sorts of options was taking the current league tables as they stand because of the number of clubs that had played different games, different number of games. Otherwise, all the options were on the table and everything was considered. There wasn't a lot of support for promoting and not relegating. So I think the view was, and this came through with the clubs as well, is that if you're going to use a points per game and complete the season, you can't sort of, you know, then pick what you want to do with that and make, I suppose, you know, what might have been the easier, less controversial decision. So I think the view was if you're going to promote, then you should relegate. And, you know, being mindful that 13 isn't the ideal number in terms of Super League, and we weren't planning to expand the Super League, so that, you know, in line with men's professional game, professional football, that the board decided to promote and relegate.
Liverpool, understandably unhappy about that. They believed they could put games on. I also spoke to somebody at the club who said that they felt they'd lost faith in the FA. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, no, it's really tough. It's, you know, I completely sympathise with Liverpool. I think it was a very, very difficult decision and I'm sure and a hugely tough one to take. But that, you know, the board consulted with all of the clubs and with the Super League and Championship board, and that was the view that they came to.
They were obviously founder members of the WSL. Have you spoken to them further? Is there any kind of potential that they might appeal the decision?
They've not indicated that. That's obviously, you know, one for them to consider. Obviously, we spoke to the clubs before the announcement, so that they were aware that this was coming, and they knew that all the way through the process when we were looking at sporting outcome, there was a risk, I suppose, to them that this might be, you know, this was an option on the table. This was certainly being talked about in professional football around points per game and promotion and relegation. So they knew that that it could be really bad news for them in that sense.
We had the Shadow Sports Minister, Alison McGovern, on with us on Women's Football Weekly here on TalkSport 2 last week. She had some really strong words to say as well, particularly that not enough respect has been shown to the women's game. I just want to play this to you so that you can have a right to reply to what Alison had to say.
I would say that women's game needs much more respect than it's getting at the moment, certainly organisationally, including from government, actually. You know, look at the amount of time and effort and media attention that the government have drawn to Project Restart for the Premier League. Has there been anything like that level of attention and effort from government, never mind the FA, on the women's game? I don't think so. So I think it's my job as an angry politician on behalf of everybody, all the participants, to say, you know what, this is not good enough. We want better than this.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with me, Faye Carruthers, and I'm alongside, well, socially distanced broadcasting over the airwaves, Kelly Simmons, Director of the Women's Professional Game at the FA. You just heard the thoughts there of the Shadow Sports Minister, Alison McGovern, Kelly. She wanted the women's game to be discussed along with Project Restart and the Premier League. Was that ever on the table and ever possible?
Well, certainly we've been talking closely to the government and to the Premier League and all the football stakeholders during the last few weeks. I think the fact was, though, that when it came to looking at the protocols and what was required to come back whilst the country is in lockdown, you know, the operational challenges, the costs were prohibitive. And then, as I said earlier, when you take the players' views into consideration, and you shouldn't underestimate that it's hugely important that we listen to the players as part of making that decision. We just felt that it was the right decision for the women's game. In terms of that interview, look, it's, you know, it's great. She's championing women's sport and women's football and challenging the government. And, you know, I'm all for that, of course. I think she did go on to say that she thought that we'd cancelled the league with no plan. I think that was disappointing. It would have been great had she checked in with the FA, because clearly we've got a strategy for the professional game. We've developed that with the clubs and the fantastic new board that we've put in place. And I think if you go back to pre-COVID a few weeks ago, when we had, you know, record attendances, you know, they were up 210% this year, record audiences up 40%. We'd signed a deal with Barclays as title sponsor of the Women's Super League, which is a record in women's sport. We were selling international rights across the world. You know, the Super League was going global. Then I think, you know, it's unfair to say that we haven't got a plan for the growth and development of the professional game.
Yeah, we will be talking about the plan for growth that you do have. I know that you've recently released some refereeing statistics as well, and we will be going into those. And, you know, whenever we talk about the FA and what you're doing for women's football, you know, there is always criticism and scrutiny, as you would expect there to be, but there is also a lot of praise for what you do as well. And you've spoken before in the past about how difficult it is comparing the women's game to the men's as well. And I think that's where the problem comes. It's good that women's football, in a way, is being discussed within the same space as men's football, but that comes with its own challenges.
Yeah, it does. So, you know, I've seen over the last few weeks, obviously we get compared, well, not just the last few weeks, but it's all season, really, we get compared to the Men's Premier League. And I understand that, of course I do, but the Men's Premier League is a global, multi-billion, long-established league, and we're in our second year of professional women's football. So all I call for, really, is a bit of sort of balance, I suppose, in looking at how quickly the women's game is coming on and how much, you know, the league has developed. And just sort of, yeah, balancing that rather than constantly, I suppose, benchmarking with the Premier League and then using that to knock the Women's Super League, which is actually, you know, one of the best leagues in the world and the only fully professional women's league, football league in Europe.
I understand that Alison McGovern had a meeting planned on Friday with the FA. Did that go ahead and what came out of it?
It did. She met Mark Bullingham, our chief executive, and Baroness Sue Campbell, who's our director of women's football. I was doing the press conference on the sporting outcome decision, so I missed that. But I think it was that we wanted to put across very strongly that we'd got a plan, that we've already shown, I think, a track record through the last 4 years strategy for the women's game, where people said, oh, you know, could you really double participation? Yes, we did. You know, we've seen massive growth in coaching, in refereeing that we've been putting out recently, as well as the development of the Women's Professional League. And I think we wanted to get across strongly that just because, you know, as disappointing as it is that we couldn't complete this season, didn't mean that we hadn't got really ambitious plans and investment for the women's game going forward.
So what exactly is the plan? You say it's an ambitious plan going forward. What can you tell us?
Well, the FA, the overall women's game, that new strategy will be launched later this year. But there'll be, again, there'll be ongoing commitments to growing participation, improving the talent pathway, doing everything we can to make sure England's successful. In terms of the professional game, as I say, we've already developed our four-year plans with the clubs and with the new board. And that's very much about growing audiences, growing attendances, growing revenue so that we can become commercially self-sustainable, which is hugely important in terms of protecting the women's game, and making sure we've got a world-class product. So developing our best young players in terms of English players, but attracting world talent as well.
And of course, growing audiences, mainly down to broadcasting. We'll talk about that shortly. This is Women's Football Weekly here on TalkSport 2. You're listening to the thoughts of Kelly Simmons, Director of the Women's Professional Game at the FA. Next, we'll hear more from her on plans being discussed to maximise exposure.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio.
Hi, I'm Gemma Bonner and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
You are listening to TalkSport 2. This is Women's Football Weekly with me, Faye Carruthers, and you're also joined by Kelly Simmons, Director of the Women's Professional Game at the FA. We've just been talking about the decision to cancel the WSL and Championship seasons and award Chelsea the WSL title, Aston Villa the Championship title, and relegate Liverpool to the second tier. The next thing I want to discuss with you, Kelly, a lot of people have thought that there has perhaps been an opportunity missed. We've discussed the reasons behind having to cancel the league. I think all the clubs are on board with that, or the majority, certainly. We all know the problems involved there in terms of finances, testing, and other health and safety implications as well. Manchester City head of women's football, Gavin Makel, said the other day he didn't believe it was an opportunity missed because there are going to be many opportunities for the women's game forthcoming. Do you agree with him, or do you feel as if something more could have been done if there'd been a little bit more strategy in place, if you can have any strategy for an unprecedented event like COVID-19?
Yeah, I don't think it's a strategy in place. It's looking at what has to be put down in the training ground and at stadia to come back, and whether at the time the women's game was geared up operationally and financially to deliver that. And it became quite clear quite quickly when we saw those ourselves in the clubs that it was really, really challenging. So I don't think it's strategy. I think I agree with Gavin. I think, you know, of course it's disappointing that we're not able to complete the season. We were on a record-breaking season. But when we come back, you know, I genuinely believe we'll come back really strongly, and we've got, you know, lots to look forward to. So we announced the start date of the season at the beginning of September. We launched there last year. It was a men's FIFA window. We had fantastic numbers and attendances. Obviously, we'll probably be behind closed doors this time, but a great opportunity in terms of audiences. And if you look at the next few years in the women's game, Olympics, Euros on home soil, you know, there's lots of big, big things to hook into in terms of building fan base, building audience.
I was going to ask you that, because I think there were a lot of fears that momentum could have been lost, because as you say, you've announced that you're hoping to start the new seasons on the 5th and 6th of September. But bearing in mind the fanfare that this season started with, the record attendances, as you discussed, the fact that many of the games were staged at men's stadiums as well, is there a worry that that momentum will be lost a little bit, bearing in mind we now don't have a Euros until 2021. 2022, even. I'll start that again. 2022.
Yeah, well, the whole international calendar's been thrown up in the air for about 2 years. It's not surprising that we're all muddling our days. I don't think it's... Look, I think there's still many, many opportunities out there, I think, for the women's game, and we've got to maximise those. So, you know, at the end of the day, all the work that we've done, the fantastic work around building the Lionesses fan base, translating that into the WSL when we launched for this season, you know, record attendances, record TV audiences, all of that interest is still there. So when we come back in September, there's no reason why we can't have fantastic audiences in terms of TV. And obviously when we can open up to fans, then, you know, record attendances. There's a massive commitment from the clubs and from the FA and the league to build on that. And, you know, we've got a great opportunity. We've got top world-class players, top product in terms of the league, and lots of big kind of pinnacle events coming up around Olympics, Euros, etc., to capitalise and keep building. So I think, look, massive, you know, short-term setback, but not the end by a long, long way. You know, we will come back strongly.
A lot of our listeners want to know about broadcasting deals. They want to be able to watch more women's football. What's the latest there?
So we currently have one more season with BT Sport and their partnership with the BBC. But we are out in the market for our new domestic rights deal for 2021 onwards. We have started speaking to all the major broadcasters over the last couple of months. We expect it to be highly competitive, which is fantastic for the women's game. There is a lot of interest, and we're really committed to making sure that we get the right partners who can help us deliver growth in audience and growth in revenue. So I think it's going to be a big, big moment for the women's game.
One of the things that's been particularly noticeable over the past few weeks is the end of players' contracts. Is that something the FA really needs to look at? Is it being looked at? Because, you know, it seems to be quite problematic. Women's contracts are shorter than men's contracts, and that's causing a lot of problems.
Well, I think that's about where the women's game is financially at the moment. I think you're seeing a shift. You're seeing more players starting to go on longer term contracts as clubs have got security of a mix of monies and commercial money and club support. But you still have got some 1 year deals. And I think the way that that will turn around is ultimately when the women's game can generate more revenue so that there's more certainty in terms of those club budgets. So I think that is, you know, ultimately the way to fix that is that the game is sustainable in its own right. And obviously we're working really hard through domestic rights, international rights, sponsorship and growing attendances and match day revenue to make that happen.
We've spoken before off air about the potential for the Premier League to take over the WSL. I understand that talks are still continuing, but will perhaps be revisited a bit further down the line. Is that right?
That's right, yes. We're open-minded at the FA in terms of where the Women's Super League and the Championship sits long-term. We don't run the men's professional leagues. They sit outside of the FA. And so we've been open-minded about who that is. The Premier League did have a look. I think it's been well documented. Decided that in this rights deal, so our deal for 21 onwards, that they won't offer to take over running of the Super League and the Championship, but that they will come back to the table and look at it in the round in the next year or so. So I think, you know, those discussions will take place again.
It was interesting to see what happened in Germany. And I know it's very difficult to compare what's happening here in the UK compared to what's happening over in Germany. But the Frauen Bundesliga has gone back, and they also had a support fund from Bundesliga clubs as well. And obviously, if there was a closer connection, that would be incredibly helpful and perhaps could have stopped the curtailment of the season early.
Well, I think, well, first of all, you know, the German league isn't fully professional. So you've got to say, well, if you're looking at it in a wider context, is the men's professional game here helping develop top level women's football? It's helping deliver professional women's football and a fully professional league, some professional clubs in the Championship and semi-professional football. And at the moment, that is not possible without men's football club money. So, you know, the Premier League clubs and the EFL clubs have been investing significantly for some time. So I think, you know, that's the first thing to say on that. And secondly, if you look at some of the challenges that our women's club had in meeting those operational requirements, it wasn't just testing costs. It was just a number of challenges around where the game is, around training venues and around stadia and so on. So it wasn't just a case of, you know, the government or football stakeholders just writing a cheque and helping us get back. There were a number of other challenges. Germany, very different situation currently in terms of COVID, you know, as a country. I don't know how their players feel about coming back. I do know how ours feel. We had captains' meetings for both leagues. And it was pretty clear as well that the players had concerns at the current time with lockdown and the rate of COVID here. that they had concerns about coming back. So I think you have to look at it all in the round.
So by looking at it all in the round, you're suggesting that, you know, the season's going to restart 5th and 6th of September with the head of league operations, Lauren O'Sullivan at the FA, saying pre-season training could provisionally begin in July. Well, that's just a few weeks away. So how are attitudes going to change?
Well, I think you talk to government, you know, by July, shops should be open, pubs are opening, people are starting to go back to work. We will be coming out of lockdown. Hopefully some of those key factors that the government judge, you know, their strategy on around you know, numbers of deaths and the R rate and all of those things that we watch on the news every night, that some of those will be coming down in the right way and people will be more confident to be going back into society. Alongside that, obviously, we've got work alongside the clubs to put those protocols in place, and if there are some cost challenges, you know, we are talking to the football stakeholders and government about making sure that we're ready.
That's interesting. Just want to finally finish on a positive note, because we did discuss the FA's game plan for growth. We've spoken about it on Women's Football Weekly here on TalkSport 2 before as well. You've said how well everything's been going. You've released figures about doubling participation and the game's fan base as well, and what you've been doing with the pipeline into the England national team. But the other day you released figures on increasing the number of female referees and raising standards, which is something in particular in the WSL had been highlighted. So what exactly has happened over the past 4 years?
So, well, first of all, we've been working with our county FAs to get more women into refereeing and more referees. So, you know, widening the base always helps improve the top, just like it does in coaching and playing and other aspects. Yeah, we've been working with PGMOL, so professional game match officials who oversee top level refereeing in the men's game. And all about the referees in the Women's Super League, they're on this match system whereby every single decision or non-decision is analysed, and then the referees get coaching feedback. So every single decision is fed back to them on video replays and at links. They've got coaches and support. So we're really seeing a big shift in the support that we're giving the top-level referees. And actually, you know, we announced the results, around 98%. Full decisions that were made are correct. Of course, you get the high-profile ones, inevitably in men's and women's football, that people focus in on, and it's a really tough job. But if you look at the results, you know, from the PGMOL and the work that those referees have done, a tremendous job, and we'll keep working hard to support them and get more referees in.
Yeah, it's not an easy job. We certainly know that. We hope to hear from Joanna Stimpson, head of referees at the FA of women's football as well. And also, Kelly Simmons, I really hope that I see you face to face soon and we can have another chat and discuss all the things that the FA are doing. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for being very honest and answering all our questions.
Thanks very much.
Take care. Kelly Simmons there, director of the Women's Professional Game at the FA. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly here on TalkSport 2. Don't forget, we're now a podcast, so you can download us from your preferred podcast provider and catch up on Women's Football Weekly if you miss us. Next, Eni Aluko, sporting director at newly promoted Aston Villa Women, talks about their plans for the WSL.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio.
Hi, I'm Georgia Stanway and you're listening to the Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with me, Faye Carruthers. Thank you for joining us on this Monday evening. Interesting thoughts there from the FA's director of the women's professional game, Kelly Simmons. Next up, Eni Aluko, sporting director at Aston Villa Women, also former Chelsea and England forward. Perfect person to discuss the end of the season with. Double celebration for you, Eni. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. It's been a good weekend, having finally the good news of promotion. It's been a long wait, of quite a painful wait, to be honest, with so much uncertainty in the air. But it's really nice now that, you know, all the work that's gone in, certainly for me over the last 4 months, and all the work that's gone in from the team and staff at Villa's paid off, and we can now look forward to next season in the WSL.
Absolutely. We'll delve into that shortly, because I did see on social media the other day that you were celebrating Chelsea's success as well as Aston Villa's success with a certain Claire Rafferty.
We had a catch up. We had a picnic, although the picnic became a storm. No one checked the weather, so we weren't very clever on Saturday. But we met up and we had a bit of a quick celebration, obviously, between myself, Drew, and Drew Spence, and Claire Rafferty, who are obviously at Chelsea. So it was a nice kind of collective celebration.
Just going to focus on Chelsea very briefly, because Chelsea women's title-winning manager Emma Hayes was speaking to Adrian Durham and Darren Goff on TalkSport on Friday.
It just happens that the system, the points game system, means we end up as champions. And no, I don't want to win a championship like this, but I do think we've had an outstanding year, being Continental Cup winners and being unbeaten all year. And I think I'm just delighted to be in this position, and want to thank my owner, Roman, because without his support, I don't think I'd be sitting here today.
Yeah, it's fair to say he's done a lot for the women's game. And when we look at the table, yes, you're a point behind Manchester City, but you are unbeaten, as you say, and you have played Man City twice as well. Have you got any sympathy for City?
No. I'm the manager of Chelsea. Why would I have sympathy? Listen, I think City had they took us the whole way, but we took 4 points off of them out of the possible six, and took six from the mighty champions, Arsenal. So on that basis, our points per game put us in front, and I'm not the person who's determining whether it is to be completed or not. But what it is, I hope, teaches my players that every game matters, and that you don't know what's around the corner and how a league may be settled. And well, I hope we're never in this position again. I'm grateful to have another title under our belt, and I'm excited for the team's future, because I've got a fabulous group of players playing for me.
Yeah, one of those players is Scotland international Erin Cuthbert. She came on the TalkSport quiz on Saturday with me and Darren Bent.
Well, we had a Zoom call yesterday morning before the news was released, and Emma was actually having a champagne on that, but I still had things to do, so I had to drive, so couldn't have anything too exciting, but I'll hopefully be able to celebrate properly when everyone gets down, because it's not the same yourself. You want to be with your teammates to celebrate something like this.
Chelsea forward Erin Cuthbert and Chelsea manager Emma Hayes there talking here on TalkSport. And you're also hearing the thoughts of Eni Aluko, former Chelsea forward and now sporting director at Aston Villa Women. Worthy winners, were they for you, Eni? Chelsea?
Well, I think, as Emma said, you know, it's an unprecedented, unexpected
decision, obviously, to decide on points per game. And it's not for any of us to sort of comment on, you know, whether that's right or wrong. It wasn't our decision. It was a league decision. But, you know, to be in the conversation to win the league at that point, you have to look at the form across the season. And, you know, I've been to Chelsea games this season, and they've been absolutely exceptional. I was at the Arsenal game at Boreham Wood, where they won, I think it was 4-1. Just an exceptional performance from start to finish, and that's without me being biased. That's just very objective. They played very well. You know, I was at the cup final as well. I did radio for the cup final, where they won. You know, they beat Arsenal there. And as Emma said in her segment, they've beaten Manchester City twice this season. They've taken 4 points of Manchester City too. So over the course of the season, you have to, you know, you have to appreciate the dominance of certain teams. And certainly from Aston Villa's point of view, we went unbeaten and were 6 points clear at the time in which the season ends. So, you know, we're very proud of all the work that's been put in, and you have to put yourself in a position to even be in the conversation about promotion. And that's what we did.
So Aston Villa finished 6 points clear of Sheffield United. I'm going to ask the same question to you that Adrian asked to Emma Hayes. Have you got any sympathy for Sheffield United?
Do you know what? The rivalry between Chelsea and Manchester City is probably a lot more strong, and that's probably what elicited Emma's response. But certainly, it's probably not as strong between the rivalry between Aston Villa and Sheffield United. And certainly, their manager was very, very complimentary and very nice, and had very kind words to say about us getting promoted. And I'd definitely repay that and say, yeah, you know, it's tough. It is tough to feel like you've had an incomplete season. But I think she herself said that, you know, if she was in Aston Villa's position, she'd definitely want to get promoted. So I think all of us in sport understand that, you know, the fundamental basis of sport is to be rewarded for winning and to be rewarded for your hard work. So I think everybody who sort of understands sport knows that actually there would have been an empty feeling if nobody got anything out of this season. So I really respect Carla Ward for her words, and I'll definitely, you know, say the same about her, and wish her squad all the best next season, because, you know, they're a great team, and with certainly a great men's team as well, who I hope financially support them in their pursuit of more success.
Yeah, because that support is crucial. I was going to ask you, actually, how much is Aston Villa's success down to the support from Aston Villa CEO Christian Perslow?
Without the sort of commitment and financial investment and vision of Christian Perslow, we really couldn't, you know, plan ahead to be a professional team with a professional setup, with a vision that's not just for next year, but for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and really kind of, you know, build a vision around that, recruit around that. It really does take the financial investment and the commitment from owners like Christian, who believe in the game and believe in having an established women's side, an elite women's side alongside the men's team. So very grateful to him, very grateful to, you know, Deputy Chief Executive Paul Tyrrell, who I work very closely with, and very grateful to Christian for recruiting me. You know, we started our conversation probably 9 months ago now, when I was still playing at Juventus. So here I am, you know, promoted sporting director, very excited about all the things to come for Villa. So, yeah, super grateful.
So what things are to come for Villa? What plans are already in place for the new season and your first as a WSL team?
Well, we'll be announcing some really exciting things coming up, but we'll be, you know, there'll be lots of new players coming in, both international. We've got some really exciting players currently in the team who are young English players who I'm so excited about in terms of their future for the England team as well. I won't spoil it, but, you know, we'll have an announcement about our stadium for next season, which is going to be the biggest stadium in the WSL. And there's lots to come as well in terms of just what the players are doing off the field for the club as well. And just generally, you know, hopefully, you know, just a more professional setup for the players to really excel. That's all to come.
I know you don't want to ruin the announcement, but when you say the biggest stadium in the WSL, can you tell us the capacity?
Yeah, so, the stadium will have a capacity, I believe, of 11,000-12,000. I don't want to get specific, don't quote me, but I think it's around 11,000-12,000. It will be, a men's stadium that I think women's football is very familiar with. You know, I've played there for England.
I might have guessed. I don't know whether to ruin it or not for our listeners, but
yeah, bearing in mind, a bit of a guessing game.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Bescot Stadium, Walsall, but I might be wrong.
Excellent.
Well, that's very exciting. And you heard it here first. Thank you for our breaking news, Enya Luko, here on TalkSport 2. Aston Villa will be playing their WSL games at the Bescot Stadium, which is where Walsall play. Enya Luko, always a pleasure having you on. I hope to chat to you soon. Take care of yourself.
Cheers. Thanks, Faye.
Enya Luko there, sporting director at Aston Villa. And as I said, you heard it here first. They're moving to the Bescot Stadium for their first season in the WSL. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly here on TalkSport 2. Next, where do Liverpool women go from here?
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hello, this is Farah from Reading FC Women. You're listening to the Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers. Thank you for being with us on this Monday evening. Now, we've discussed the highs of promotion and winning titles, but of course, there's always going to be a loser in a points per game decision. And Liverpool were the team relegated from the WSL. A number of players have now left the club as well, including striker Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, who's with us now. Good evening, Courtney. How are you doing?
Evening, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Just quickly, your reaction to relegation, first and foremost?
Obviously, it's hard to take. Unfortunately, you know, as a squad and as a member of that squad, we didn't perform, obviously, to the best of our abilities and what we thought we could at times. We didn't win enough games and, unfortunately, win enough points across the season. I think we'd like to think, you know, if we were to play our remaining games, that we could have clawed ourselves out. But unfortunately, that's not the position that we were in at that point.
I'd heard from someone from within the club that a lot of people felt they'd lost faith in the FA. How do you feel?
I personally don't feel that way. Like I say, I think it is hard because we had 8 games left, but I think, like you've just alluded to at the start, I think in this position, in terms of PPG, there's always going to be a winner and a loser. But like I say, at the point that we were and the games that we played, we hadn't done enough. We hadn't won enough points and we hadn't won enough games. I do think in terms of the FA, it's harsh that everyone hasn't followed suit in terms of the other leagues and that decided on PPG. A lot of theirs was null and void. So that's harsh in that sense, but in the same breath, I think if you look at Aston Villa and the money that they've invested and how hard they work to gain promotion, it would be very harsh to deny them that.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point there, the money that they've invested, because a number of players, including you, took to social media when your contract ended and made comments regarding leaving the club, suggesting that you weren't particularly happy at Liverpool, correct me if I'm wrong, and that you wanted to fall back in love with football again. What was it about the environment that didn't work for you?
I think personally for me, obviously there's a lot been written in terms of the vision of the club in terms of if we're going to be included in the new training ground, which was a no, and playing at Prenton and stuff like that. So across the water in Tranmere, which is no disrespect to Tranmere, but I can't speak for anyone else, but I didn't personally feel part of the club in terms of the vision going forward. I think the main thing that, you know, stuck in my head was if we're not in those visions for the training ground going forward, then, you know, where do we sit within the club?
Do you think the club will learn from this, being relegated to the Championship when the men's side of the club is about to win the Premier League? Will that fit uncomfortably with them and they'll feel like they need to invest more?
I really hope so. I think for, you know, we've seen it now for a few years and the cycle of maybe 2-year contracts where, you know, since they won back-to-back WSLs, there's been a decline. So I'd like to think that this is the jolt that they need because there's some, you know, fantastic players and some great people within that club. And it's not just about the money, but, you know, the tools and the resources that need to be given for that club to be successful and people to thrive. And like I say, I felt like I'd felt met the end of the road with my journey, but there's still people there that I think can do great things with the club and hopefully they will do that and get it back to, you know, not just Liverpool by name. It should be by nature in terms of where they're performing.
Yeah, absolutely. So the end of the road for Liverpool for you, but the journey continues. What next for you?
I can't say too much at the moment. Obviously, COVID has, you know, knocked out and pushed back a lot of plans, but I have got options and, you know, I'm hoping, you know, within the next week or two, I can reveal that. But I'm just very excited for what's to come for me. And it's obviously it's been hard for everyone, not just footballers, but everyone involved in this. But for me, I just can't wait to get back on the training field and kicking a ball.
Didn't you know we're the breaking news station here on TalkSport 2? Eni Aluko has just revealed that Aston Villa will be playing their games at the Bescot Stadium. I was hoping that you, Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, were going to be telling us an exclusive about where you were going, but I won't push you any more on it. I look forward to hearing your news in a couple of weeks and where you'll end up, and I look forward to talking to you again here on Women's Football Weekly as well.
Thanks, Faye.
Take care, Courtney. Courtney Sweetman-Kirk there, former Liverpool striker. We shall find out where she's going next. We've just got a few minutes to talk to Kieran Maguire, Price of Football author and our finance expert here on Women's Football Weekly. Good evening, Kieran. Sorry we're short on time. I hope you're well. Obviously, now the WSL table's been decided, how are the top clubs going to be impacted financially by it?
Well, I guess from the club's point of view, that they're looking to cut costs. And if the WSL had continued, then there would be clearly wage costs to incur. More players would have to come out of furlough. But then also we have the costs of testing players. And realistically, with 8 or 9 games to go, you're probably looking at somewhere in the region of £150,000 per club. You spread that across the whole of the WSL and it's over £1 million has been saved. And I think that was one of the driving forces behind the decision.
Yeah, we were just hearing from Courtney Sweetman-Kirk there, formerly of Liverpool, and obviously them dropping down into the Championship is going to affect them massively. How big of an effect will it have on them?
I think it will be significant in terms of if you're trying to get commercial income, and I think that will be the main driver of the women's game next season. Yeah, we don't know whether the matches are taking place before a paying audience. There won't really be a TV deal as such in the Championship bringing any revenue. So everything's going to be determined by how well you get on with your sponsors. The Championship, as it is in the men's game, isn't as attractive a proposition. So, Liverpool will be sore about that. Yeah, they will be hurting. And also, I think with the men's team, they appear to be sort of battening down the hatches in terms of spending there as well. There'll be restricted investment as far as the women's team is concerned for Liverpool.
Yeah, and just finally, Kieran, and very quickly because we're running out of time, we've already seen AFC Fylde reverse their decision after deciding to disband. Are we going to see more clubs going the way that they did originally, or is there a bit of light at the end of the tunnel of this COVID-19 crisis?
Unfortunately, things are looking very grim for all teams at all levels, and what you will find is that the group, as it were, sort of consisting of the men's team and the women's team and so on, the group will be looking to cut costs. If the women's team is losing money, and if you take a look at all of the WSL clubs last season, they all made losses with the exception of Spurs, and they only made a £5,000 profit. It's one of those areas which can be cut. You hope that won't be the case because the game's been making so much progress recently, but it becomes increasingly high risk.
Oh, Kieran Maguire, Price of Football author. I'm so sorry we haven't had longer with you. I always find your chats fascinating, but we'll get you back on Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 shortly, I hope. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much to Kelly Simmons from the FA, Eni Aluko, Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Kieran Maguire, author of The Price of Football. And thank you for listening as well to this Women's Football Table Weekly Special here on TalkSport 2. Don't forget, we're now a podcast, so download us. We'll also be repeated tomorrow morning on TalkSport 2 between 9 and 10 a.m.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio.
Oh, the momentum is with them now.
Women's Football Weekly with Faker Others.
And Jill Scott scores inside 2 minutes.
On TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.